Well, tonight we've come to the end of our series, We Believe. It's an ABC of Christian teaching, and it's actually the 21st message in our series. And tonight we're going to think about heaven again. It's heaven part two. We thought about it last week, and we looked at three snapshots of heaven last week: a new creation, a bride prepared, and an everlasting home. And tonight, two more snapshots. They are just snapshots. How much we could say, how deep we could dig, but we just don't have the time. So the first snapshot is a city. So please come with me to the reading which we had. And we're told this, Revelation chapter 21, verse 10, "And he carried me away in the Spirit," this is John speaking, "to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God." So what is this city? Well, a city is a community. And this is a community of people who belong together. It's the people of God. It's the church of Jesus Christ. It's the whole number of the redeemed. Verse 11, "Having the glory of God, her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal." It's the glorified people of God, shining with the brightness of the splendor of the glory of God. This is the bride of Christ. Verse 9 says, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." It's the people of God, the glorified people of God. That's what the city is. But actually, we're going to take up the picture at verse 22. Lots more we could say. We could go through all of these things, but we haven't the time. As I say, we're just going to scratch the surface. So what do we learn about this city? Well, in this city, looking for verse 22 onwards, there is no temple. Verse 22, "I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple." Now, what was the temple? Well, for 1,000 years, it was the special meeting place of God and his people. It was situated in Jerusalem. And if you wanted to meet with God, then you would go to the temple. But in this city, there is no temple. There is no separate meeting place. You don't go anywhere. Why? Well, we're told, "For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple." God the Father, God the Son, the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb fill the city. There's no special meeting place, because the whole city is the meeting place of God and his people. The whole city is temple. It's wonderful, isn't it? God is in the city, and the city is in God. Everyone dwells in the immediate and unveiled presence of God. There's a perfect interpenetration of God and his people. So each and all are in the immediate, conscious, intimate contact with God. God is in the city. The city is in God. It is all temple. Everyone in heaven, both individually and together, experience the enjoyment of God. They don't have to go anywhere to find God. God is everywhere. He fills the place. So there's no temple. And we're told there's no sun or moon. Verse 23, "The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it, and the Lamb is its light." And then verse 20, chapter 22 and verse 5, we're told there shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. Now in this world, if you want a picture of the glory of God, then says the Bible, Psalm 19, "Look at the sun, witness the sun." Yes, when you look at the sun, it's easy to believe that the one who made the sun is glorious. If we can't even look directly at the sun because of its blinding brilliance, then what is it to behold the glory of God? His glory has an intensity far beyond the sun. The sun conveys something of the glory of God. But of course, in that sense, it's just a picture. But in heaven, we witness not the picture of God's glory, not the sun, where we actually witness the real thing. Not a reflection of that glory, but the very substance of his glory. The city had no need of the sun nor light of the moon in it, for the glory of God illuminated it, and the Lamb is its light. So do you see, Christians in heaven, they enjoy the brightness and the warmth of the unmediated, it doesn't come through something else, of the unmediated glory of God. Now Jesus is the light of the world. Believers in heaven will live in the fullness of that light. The Lord will dominate every aspect, every view, every horizon. Now, there are some mornings, aren't there, when you walk down the street and everyone's smiling. Why? Well, because the sun is shining. And everyone's feeling so much better, aren't they? The sun is shining. Well, what will it be like to walk in the sunshine of the glory of God? But wherever you gaze, you see the beauty and the loveliness and the perfection of Jesus Christ. Do you see? We shall share God's world. We shall discover, know, enjoy the Lord in all his fullness, in all his dimensions, for all eternity. There's no temple. There's no sun or moon. And there are no Monday mornings. Do you like Mondays? Perhaps I shouldn't remind you of it. It's not so far away, is it? Do you like Mondays? Can you worship God on a Monday? Can you do all for his glory on a Monday? Well, yes, you can. But there's a dislocation, isn't there, between what I'd love to do for the Lord and what I have to do living in this cursed world. How much of my life and my time and my energy is spent on the tedious and the frustrating and the unfulfilling? I'm just surviving life. How many frustrations there are living in this world? How many griefs? But there'll be no dislocation. Verse 23. The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. Chapter 22, verse 3, and his servants shall serve him. Christian friend, what if there was no dislocation? What if all my powers were loosed to worship and enjoy God? What if every breathing and longing for the Lord, as it were, could expand to fill the whole of my life? What if unwearied, every ransomed power found sweet employment in the presence of God, in the immediate presence of God, in the direct service of God? Well, that's what these verses are saying. There's the light, there's the glory of God, and who's walking in the light of the glory of God? And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. They're in the immediate presence. They're bathed in the sunshine of his glory. Verse chapter 22, verse 3. And his servants shall serve him. That's where they do all their service. In the sunshine of his love and of his glory. I shall live all my days. I shall be free. No frustrations, no Monday mornings. I shall be free to serve the Lord. And not just on my own. This is a city, so I'm surrounded by God's people. Everyone's a believer. And everyone there is working together in perfect unity and harmony and love. Christian friend, what if you were promoted so there were no more Monday mornings? And there's no sameness. We'll jump down to verse 26. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. So the redeemed of each nation will bring their own unique, distinctive contribution to enrich the life of heaven. All that's best about every nation, its genius, culture, artistry, poetry, music, colour, vibrance, fun. All that's best about the nations will be brought into heaven. Imagine the spectacle. Imagine the music. Imagine the colour. All that's best of the nations brought into heaven to glorify the King and to serve his people. So heaven will be English. You'll see what a true Englishman looks like in heaven. But it'll also be Peruvian, and Italian, and Ethiopian, and Sri Lankan, and Chinese. And they shall bring the glory and honour of the nations into it. Do you remember the comedian Dave Allen? In my unconverted days, I used to watch him, and I remember him talking about heaven. As he talked about heaven in this sort of jokey way, boy, it seemed dull, incredibly dull. All the fun was in the other place. Well, it's a lie. It's a lie. In hell, there is no glory and honour. That's what sin does to you. Think what happens when people get drunk. Have you ever been sober and your friends have got drunk in front of you? What happens? There's a great sameness about them, isn't it? They look, act, speak the same. Drink, it destroys their identity. It destroys their uniqueness. It's a picture of what sin does. Sin destroys identity. It destroys uniqueness. It destroys diversity and colour and all the vibrance that make a human being a human being. And of course in hell that reaches its fullness, where people in hell, they're stripped of the very image of God, leaving only a creature wailing and raging under the anger of God. In hell there is a terrible sameness, but not in heaven. They shall bring the glory and honour of the nations into it. And what's today? Today's Remembrance Sunday. And it's right, isn't it, to remember the fallen, to remember those who remain. But what does it tell us? What does Remembrance Sunday tell us? Well, it tells us that the human race is divided. There are rivalries, strifes, wars. There's nation against nation, and the fracture lines run all the way down to our families and our very intimate relationships. This is a broken world, which is here in heaven. God, through his Son, has united the redeemed of the nations. He's the great peacemaker. The many have become one, with one delight, the glory of God and of the Lamb. We see it in microcosm at Amiens Park, don't we? Lots of different nations here, lots of different cultures. How different we all are. And we get along, don't we? By and large, we get along most of the time. But obviously the work is not yet complete, because we don't get along perfectly. But here, in heaven, isn't it thrilling? They shall bring the glory and honour of the nations into it. It's a world no longer divided, but a single community of nations. A city where the people of God will live together in perfect love and harmony and unity forever. As God is one, they shall be one. He is in them and they are in him. So there's no temple. There's no sun or moon. There's no Monday mornings. There's no sameness. Do you want to go there? And there's no closing of the gates. Verse 25. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day, and there shall be no night there. In the old days, cities used to shut their gates. Why? Well, the same reason you bolt your front door. So why are the gates left open? Because there's no enemy, no threat, no danger, there's no darkness, there's no other power out there. It all now belongs to God, the kingdom, the power, the glory. Christian friend, we shall dwell in perfect safety. Now, 40 or 50 years ago in this country, people didn't always have to lock their doors. In their communities, they felt safe, there was a measure of trust, People didn't live in fear. It was the influence of the gospel in the land. You could leave your door open. Your neighbours might even come in when you weren't there. That's okay. Just a little hint, isn't it, of what heaven must be like. A community at peace. A little while ago, I spent an evening with a visitor from South Africa. I went to a garage and I filled up with petrol and we together went to pay. And as he went to pay, he got very concerned, really, actually got quite agitated. He said to me, "You haven't locked your car." I said, "It's okay, it's fine." He said, "Are you sure you haven't locked your car?" I said, "It's okay." It betrayed an attitude of mind. Because where he comes from, you never leave the car unlocked. Because the threat of robbery and violence is all too real. But do you see, in the New Jerusalem, there will be nothing to threaten or trouble believers ever again. Christian friend, today, you've had to walk through enemy territory, haven't you? You've had to wear the armour of God. When we come to pray, there's a sense it's a council of war. But then the war will be over, and we shall live in perfect peace. And no defilement. Verse 27. "But there shall no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life." Now, Christian friend, think of your happiest days. In this world, they always come to an end, don't they? Why? Because this world is cursed, it's defiled. If your own sin doesn't spoil your peace, then someone else's sin will. But on that day, there'll be nothing to spoil. There'll be no remaining sin to separate us from felt fellowship with God. There'll be no devil to assault us or to ambush or to accuse. There's no world out there to seduce us or to hate us. And there'll be nothing between brother and brother, sister and sister. There'll be nothing between God and me. And unlike the Garden of Eden, no possibility of a fall. "There shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life." Is your name written there in the Lamb's book of life? So snapshot number one, a city. There's no temple. No sun or moon, no Monday mornings, no sameness, no shut gates, no defilement. And there's another no we can add to it. Because for the blessings of heaven, there will be no end. It's a city. It's a community of perfect love, saturated with the very fullness of God. You want to go there. So snapshot number two. A new Eden. Did you listen to chapter 22 and verses 1 to 5? You notice the language. What does it talk about? Well, it talks about tree of life. It talks about a river flowing out. It says there's no curse. So what comes to mind? The Garden of Eden. A garden, a paradise where heaven and earth met, where Adam and Eve walked with God. But of course, Adam sinned. He was driven out of the garden. And so began the great divorce between a holy heaven and a cursed earth. The great separation between a holy God and a wicked, fallen human race. And the Bible is the story of the rebuilding of the bridge. It's a story of the bringing back together of heaven and earth, the bringing back together of God and man, so that God will again tabernacle with man. And here we are at the very last chapter of the last book of the Bible, and we're at the end of the story. And what do we find? We find paradise restored. There's a new Eden. Only the glory of the latter is greater than the former. That first Eden could never boast blessings like this. So what's the first blessing? What are they? Well, very briefly, again, we've just time just to skim the surface. The river of the water of life. Now, if you open the first chapter of the Bible, the first two chapters, you'll see in the Garden of Eden, a river flows. And there's a sense in which that river flows all the way through the Bible. You keep coming across the language of a river. And now we trace that river all the way to its source. Chapter 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. We discover the source of the river. It flows from the very throne of God. So what is this river? Well, again, this is all picture language. That's the level at which it's working at. It's a picture of the Spirit of God. Jesus, we read of Jesus, John, don't need to turn to it, John 7, says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, who those believing in him would receive. So this river is a picture of the Spirit of God, bringing to us the very life of God himself. So do you see? He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. We've traced the river to its source. We've come to the very source of the Godhead. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And all the fullness of God, all the pleasures of God, are by the Spirit pouring into the church. Christian friends, we shall dwell at the very heart of the Godhead. People explore, don't they? They go to trace the source of a river. If we trace the source of the river through the scriptures, and now we've found the source. And that's where we shall dwell, at the very heart of the Godhead. It's as though God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, this Trinity, this glorious being, is as though the Trinity opens up to receive a fourth, the church, the bride, the people of God. And Christian friend, we shall be lost in God. Well, what else do we read of? We read of the tree of life. Chapter 22, verse 2. In the middle of the street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So how many trees of life were there in the Garden of Eden? Just one. But here, now you've arrived in heaven, there's a whole forest of the tree of life. They're all over the place, either side of the river, and they're drawing their fruitfulness from the very river itself. It's all picture language, isn't it? And who eats the fruit? Well, the people of God. So do you see the picture? The trees of life drawing their fruitfulness from that river. The life of God, which pours like a river through the church by his Spirit, that life is to be enjoyed in a never-ending abundance. It's saying, Christian friends, that we feed upon the very life of God himself. All that God is. Remember, he's the one who's given us all that we enjoy and given us the capacities to enjoy all that he's given to us. All that God is to be enjoyed forever. And who knows, have you ever thought about it? You know, we have the capacity to enjoy now, don't we? We can taste things, we can see things. We enjoy fellowship, all the things that we enjoy now. But have you ever wondered, in those glorified bodies, what new capacities there will be to enjoy? What can new capacities of body and mind and emotions and soul that God will give to us to enjoy himself. Nor could untainted Eden give such bliss as blossoms at his side. My friend, if you're not a Christian, you just have to put up with existing. That's all you do in this world. You just exist. It's all you do. You just exist. Get up in the morning, brush your teeth, have your breakfast, have those moments, sweet moments, but they soon pass, don't they? And the misery of just getting on in this world, and you get older and tireder and more weary. You just exist. God offers you life. Life. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life. It is not everlasting existence. We've had enough of existence in this world. This is everlasting life. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. And verse 3, we're told there's no more curse. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. On Thursday, some of us went to a funeral. And on the way home, somebody mentioned the funeral of Ida Griffiths. It's in the January of last year. We loved Ida. If you know her, if you remember her, she was a member here for many years. And at her funeral, we were told Ida's favourite verse. Have you got a favourite verse? What was Ida's favourite verse? It's this, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ? If you are, then there is no condemnation. No more death sentence. No more unquenchable fire. No more curse. Which means that for the child of God, all that remains is blessing. Where is Ida now? He's now before the throne of God and of the Lamb, serving him. And she understands this verse. Now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. She understood it here, but now she really understands it. And one day with all the redeemed, she and all God's people will enter into the fullness of all of those words mean. No condemnation. There'll be no more curse. I don't know how you can live without Christ. I wandered for 17 years in the wilderness saying there's got to be something out there that's real, that's true. This is existence. There must be life somewhere. And it's found in Christ. There's an old Negro spiritual. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child a long way from home. Do you know that feeling? A long way from home. Where do I belong? Adam and Eve were driven from the garden. They were driven from where they belonged. That's the curse. To be driven out. And we've been longing to return ever since. I look at myself. When I look at myself, I say, yes, I believe the curse. And I don't know what life is like without the curse. How much of me, my emotions, my thinking, my complexities, my sorrows, my darkness, my dysfunction, how much of that is due to the curse? I don't know. I don't know fully what it means to be banished and to be far from home. It's all I've ever known. All I've ever known is a cursed earth, living far from home. It's all I've ever known. But on that day, you see, for the child of God, I'll be freed forever from that. I'll have come home no more on the outside. I'll have come home to be able to stand where once I could never have stood, before the throne of God, and to worship him. And we're climbing higher still because, verse 4, we're told, Christians shall see his face. They shall see his face. Whose face? Christ's. years of separation will be over. Those longings that I have for Christ, yet unfulfilled, will be satisfied beyond our wildest dreams. They will see His face. It will be the crowning moment. And on that day I will not be able to think of anything save my Beloved. And every cell of my redeemed body will be alive with joy inexpressible and full of glory. And not just me, but all the redeemed, the church, the city, the bride, one voice, one heartbeat, one song, one desire, one love. They shall see His face. And Christian friends, it's His face. We're told, aren't we, that once that face was marred more than any man. So extreme, so violent were His sufferings for sin that Jesus was no longer recognizable as even human. His sufferings for sin were unique. God did not spare His own Son. He became a curse for us. But look, if that face once conveyed the horrors of the curse that is past, when we see His face, it will convey the joy of the glory that's to come. They shall see His face. What does it say? And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And looking into His face, I'll know that's true. Yes, we know that, don't we? There are some situations sometimes we just have to look into someone's face and we say, it's all right, I know it's going to be all right. And just to look into His face, I know that it's true and much, much more. And you see, what does the face do? The face conveys who I am, doesn't it? And on that day, Christians will see the splendor, the majesty, the beauty, the fullness, the glory of God, the godness of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And Christian friends, it will be our wedding day. They shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. What do brides do? They take the name of their husbands, don't they? And the people of God will take His name. I am my Beloved's, and He is mine. It'll be a perfect union. Never were two lovers more perfectly made for one another. Christ and His church. And before a watching universe, the church will take their place, her place, by His side. Verse 5, and they shall reign forever and ever. The bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze at glory, but on my King of grace. Not at the crown He giveth, but on His pierced hand. The Lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel's land. But that's not the end. It's just the beginning. If I may quote C.S. Lewis, it's chapter one of the great story, which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. It's time to close. Christian friends, get big views of heaven. It changes everything, doesn't it? With heaven before us, however can we think that the Christian life is costing me too much? There's never been a better time, has there, to live, to be out and out for Jesus, without regrets and without restraints. But as we close tonight, as we close this series, if you're not a believer, then at present you are shut out of heaven. Chapter 22, verse 15 says, "But outside, they're shut outside, are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie." And that's what you're doing. You're loving and practicing a lie. You're living in this world as though there is no God, as though God doesn't matter. So you're free to do as you please. So there's no comeback. As though your life is your own. You're living and practicing a lie. But God would not have you stay outside. Look at verse 17. "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." God says to you tonight, are you thirsty? Are you? Are you thirsty for me, he says? Do you want to know me, love me, enjoy me? Do you want more than existence? Do you want to experience the very life of God? Do you want to go to heaven? Then says God, come. Take the water of life freely. I'm not stopping you. I'm standing back, inviting you. Are you thirsty for Jesus? For forgiveness? To be made whole? To know peace with God? To have satisfaction of soul? Are you thirsty for everlasting life? Then come. Take the water of life freely. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. God's Spirit, through this message, he says to you, come. And Christians, we the bride, we say to you, come. And let him who hears say, come. Yes, pass this invitation on to everyone you meet. Come, come to the waters, drink. Let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. God says to you, come, come, come. You get the impression, don't you, that God is saying, I am not taking no for an answer. I want my heaven filled with redeemed sinners, and I want you there, says God through his word. Almost the last words of the Bible. So God is saying, if it's the last thing you ever hear, I want you to hear this. An invitation to take the water of life freely and therefore live. Will you refuse again? Or will you this night come to Jesus?